Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. This program is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your host is Pastor Jack Schumann, pastor of the Emmanuel Free Reformed Church of Abbotsford, British Columbia. And now, here is Pastor Jack Schumann.
I invite you to turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, as we read the verses 1 through 8. Hear the word of God. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This ends the reading of the Holy Word of God. The text for the sermon today is taken from this portion of God's Word, Revelation 21 and verse 5, where God says, Behold, I make all things new. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of His Holy Word to our hearts. Dear friends, whatever we own in this life must be maintained. From time to time, our car needs an oil change. From time to time, we need to put new shingles on the house. And from time to time, we need to replace the brakes on our bicycle. But there comes a time when simple repair is not enough. And that's because things get old. And consequently, after a while, it's simply not worth fixing anymore. It simply needs to be replaced, or in the case of a house, it needs to be completely renovated. Now, the same is true for time. Last week, Wednesday, we marked the first day of the year 2025. The year 2024 is no more. The year 2025 has taken its place. What will this year bring? Will it bring happiness or sadness? Will it bring health or sickness? Will it bring prosperity or adversity? Will it bring life or death? We don't know. Our times are in God's hands. Whatever this new year brings, the first day of the year is a kind of renovation. It marks the end of the old and the beginning of the new. And as such, it foreshadows and anticipates a much greater renovation, the renovation of all things. And it's to this subject that we turn our attention as we begin this new year together. Our theme is the Great Renovation, and we'll consider, first of all, the source of this renovation, and secondly, the scope of this renovation. The words of our text were spoken after the creation of the new heavens and the new earth. And John describes this in Revelation 21, the verses 1 through 4. There John says that he saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And then he saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And he heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Following this, we have the words of our text. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Well, who's speaking here? Who is the one who sat on the throne and who will make all things new? Well, it is God. And we know that because in Revelation chapter 4, John sees the throne room of heaven. And in verse 3 of that chapter, we read that the one who sat on the throne was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And this is obviously a reference to God. Now, this is confirmed by what we read in chapter 4, verse 8. And there we read that the four living creatures do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And what is more, in verses 10 and 11 of that same chapter, we read that the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, and they said, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." And so we conclude then that the one who sits on the throne, and therefore the one who is speaking, is God himself. Now, there's something significant about that. Most of the time in the book of Revelation, God does not speak directly. Usually, the one who speaks is an angel, and he speaks on behalf of God. But here, God does speak. And what is more, this is the last time in Revelation that God is recorded as saying something. And as such, what he says here is very important. "Behold," he says, "I make all things new." You'll notice the word "I" in our text. This is the reference to God. He is the one who makes all things new. And when I say God, I mean the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God the Father makes all things new, but he does so through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that cannot be emphasized enough. And that's because for thousands of years, in fact, from the very beginning of time, man has been trying to make all things new apart from God. He has been trying to create a utopia, a heaven on earth. Ultimately, this is what Adam and Eve were trying to do when they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. The serpent said that the tree would make them like God, knowing good and evil, and they believed him. And we read that when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. But what happened? Well, their decision to eat the fruit of the tree ended in an unmitigated disaster. The serpent had to go on his belly, and eventually the seed of the woman, who is Christ, would bruise his head. The woman would have pain in childbearing and would be subject to her husband. The man would have to work hard to eat bread, and in the end, he would die. He would return to the dust from which he was created. And the creation itself would bring forth thorns and thistles. What a disaster! Well, the next time man attempted to create a utopia was when he constructed the Tower of Babel. We read about that in Genesis chapter 11. We read at that time that everyone on earth spoke the same language. And shortly after, people began to settle in the plain of Shinar, which is Babylon, and they came up with a plan. They would build a city with a high tower, one that reached into heaven itself, and thus make a name for themselves and become strong and powerful and economically secure. But God, when he saw what they were up to, came down from heaven and he confused their language so that they abandoned the project and they were scattered over the face of the earth. Now, there have been many other such attempts to create a utopia on earth. In fact, all of the great kingdoms and all of the great empires in history, whether that's the Babylonian Empire, the Egyptian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, the Holy Roman Empire, the Napoleonic Empire, the British Empire, the Soviet Empire, they were all attempts to create a utopia, a heaven on earth. And man is still attempting to do the very same thing today. Communism, socialism, globalism, humanism, environmentalism, transgenderism, diversity, inclusion, and equityism all amount to the same thing, creating a utopia, a heaven on earth, but they all have come to nothing. And they will all come to nothing. Why? Because only God can do this. Only God can make all things new. Only God can create heaven on earth. And that is exactly what he does. He declares, I alone make all things new. The point is, the source of this great renovation is to be found not in man, but it is to be found in God. He is the source of this renovation. But now, what is the scope of this renovation? That brings us to our second point. Whenever God does something, he does it perfectly and completely. The same is true here. He makes all things new, he says. Not just some things, but all things. And you'll notice he does this right now. God doesn't say, I will make all things new when I get around to it. No, he says, I am making all things new. He is doing this right now. So that begs the question, what exactly is God making new? Well, first of all, we can say he is making us new, speaking about believers here. And that's precisely what God does when he saves a sinner. When God saves a sinner, he renovates him. He makes us new creatures in Christ. And to be sure, we remain the same person. We have the same personality and the same characteristics, but we are different. We are made new. In the first place, we are given a new nature. Our old nature is sinful. We confess in Lord's Day 2 of the Heidelberg Catechism that we are prone by nature to hate God and our neighbor. We receive that sin nature from our first parents, Adam and Eve. When Adam sinned, we all sinned in him. And now, due to his fall into sin, we are all born with a sin nature. And there's nothing we can do about it. We are trapped like a mouse in a mouse trap. We cannot escape. We cannot change ourselves. The leopard cannot change his spots. Neither can we change our fundamental nature. But when God works in our heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, he changes us. He transforms us. He replaces our old nature with a new nature. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that we are without sin. We will never be without sin in this life. We will always have to battle against our old nature, against the devil, and against our own sinful flesh. But we are no longer under the dominion of sin. That's the difference. We can say no to sin, and we can walk in the ways of the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul writes, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Paul is saying that by virtue of our union with Christ, when Christ died, we died with him. We died to sin. And similarly, when he rose, we rose with him. That is, we rose to righteousness and new life. In other words, we are not what we once were. We have a new nature. We are new creatures in Christ. Secondly, when God changes a sinner, he gives the sinner new life. By nature, we are spiritually dead. Ephesians 2, verse 5, Paul says that before our conversion to Christ, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Not kind of dead, not a little bit dead, but dead, thoroughly and completely dead. And that means we are utterly incapable of doing anything for our spiritual benefit and well-being. We cannot repent, we cannot believe, we cannot do good works, we can do nothing. In the previous verses, Paul writes that before our conversion, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. This is us. This is who we are by nature. But when God works in our heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, he makes us alive. Ephesians 2, verse 4, Paul writes, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Christ brings us from a state of death to a state of life. He makes us alive in him, and as such we have new feelings, new desires, new affections, new priorities. The orientation of our life, which was once turned against God, is now turned towards God. We are alive, alive in Christ. We're also given a new relationship. By nature, we are slaves to sin and the devil. By grace, we are slaves of righteousness and sons of God for Christ's sake. By nature, we are foreigners. By grace, we are citizens. By nature, we are enemies. By grace, we are made friends. By nature, we are afar off. By grace, we are brought near. We're also given a new body. This body of ours is subject to the effects of sin. It's prone to disease and disability, decay and death. But our new body will not be prone to any of these things. It will be a perfect body. And what is more, it will be incapable of sinning, and it will last forever. It will never die. Now, we don't have that body yet, but we will when our Lord comes again. And then the trumpet will sound. And whether we are alive or dead, our bodies will be transformed. And they shall be made like unto the glorious body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But not only does God make us new, he also makes his creation new. At present, like us in our pre-resurrection bodies, the creation groans under the weight of sin. And Paul speaks of that in Romans 8, verses 19 to 22. He writes, "The earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now." Did you hear what Paul says? Creation groans. But one day, when our Lord comes again, this creation will be recreated. It will be made new. John himself refers to that in the opening verse of our text chapter. He writes, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth." For he says, "The first heaven and the first earth had passed away, Also, there was no more sea. So like our bodies, the new creation will be without sin and without the effects, without the consequences of sin. That means there will be no more natural disasters, no more ozone depletion, no more climate change, no more pollution. It will be absolutely perfect. And so we see that all of creation will be made new. We will be made new. Creation will be made new. God makes all things new. Now, needless to say, this gives us so much hope as we begin this new year, 2025. In the first place, if God makes all things new, then if you are not saved, He can make you new as well. My friend, never think that you are too far gone. Never think that your heart is too hard and cold. He who makes all things new can give you a new heart. He can cause you to be born again. He can bestow on you the new birth. If He did this for Manasseh and Paul and the thief on the cross, He can do so for you as well if you ask Him, for He is the God who has said, "I make all things new." Secondly, if God makes all things new, then He can make His people. He can renew them and strengthen His grace within them. Many of God's people are not where they want to be spiritually. They wish they spent more time reading and studying the Scriptures and praying and communing with God. They wish they had more victory over sin, more communion with God, more love to God, more of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And instead, they see only their failures and their shortcomings. And they have to confess that the old man is still so strong and their faith is still so weak. And they're tired of it. They want to change, but they feel so powerless to change. And every time they try to change, they find themselves falling into the same old patterns again and again and again. They can identify with the Apostle Paul, who in Romans 7 cried out, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And they dare not begin a new year the same way they finished the old one. Oh, dear believer in Christ, do not be discouraged. Bring it to God. Lay it before Him. Ask Him to give you more grace. Ask Him to revive and quicken you. Plead His promise that where He has begun a good work, He will surely finish it. And do not stop praying this until He has refreshed your soul with His grace. He can do it, for He is the God who makes all things new. Thirdly, if God makes all things new, then He can, if it is His will, change the circumstances in which we find ourselves. Perhaps some of you need to hear that. Last year was perhaps not the best year for you. Your business did not do as well as you had hoped. Your income became less because of inflation. You found it hard to make ends meet. Your health took a turn for the worse. You experience tension in your marriage or family life. You're anxious and fearful about the future. And you look at what's happening in the world today, and you just despair, and you feel so powerless to do anything about it. Or you struggle with addiction and you've relapsed. Your devotional life is not what it ought to be. And so you're dreading entering this new year. What will it bring? Will it bring more of the same? More struggles? More trials? More defeats? More of the same downward slide? Well, dear friends, I cannot answer that question for you. God knows. But what I can tell you is that He can help you. He can sustain you. He also can change your circumstances in a moment if it pleases Him to do so. And if He thinks that is good for you, He can even change the entire political order. And therefore bring this too to the Lord. Ask him to give you some relief. And if he doesn't, ask him to give you grace to withstand whatever trials he may send your way in this upcoming year, and even to use them for your spiritual growth and enrichment. For he is the God who makes all things new. Every so often, we need to renovate, but the greatest renovation is performed by God. He makes all things new. And one day, this renovation will be complete. Oh, what a day that will be. For then we who are in Christ will be like him at last. And this world, which is now groaning under the weight of sin and the effects of sin, will be perfect. And those who are in Christ shall live and reign with him forever. Knowing this, and with this perspective, let us enter the year 2025 with confidence. And let us look to our God, who makes all things new. Amen. We always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you were blessed by or have a comment on the message you have heard today, we would very much appreciate hearing from you. Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at banneroftruthradio.com. That's all one word, banneroftruthradio.com. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. For more information about our churches, including where you can find a church nearest you, please visit our denominational website at www.frcna.org. If you live near Lethbridge, Alberta, you're welcome to worship at the Bethel Free Reformed Church, 314 Eastman Avenue in Monarch, Alberta. Service times are Sundays at 10 o'clock a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Your financial support for this program is welcome and deeply appreciated. If the Lord has placed in your heart a desire to help us to offset the costs of broadcasting this program on this station, you can send us a check in any amount. Again, our mailing address is 3386 Mount Lehman Road, Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can visit the donation section of our webpage. Our webpage again is banneroftruthradio.com. Thank you for listening, and now until next week, may the Lord be with you all.